In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. It's wonderful to hear the compliments of the Lord today. Someone called me up and said, "Father Tom, thank you for being on the radio. Thank you, Father Tom, because you have blessed me every day." And I said, "Well, thank you for calling, because you know what? Not many people call." And it's so wonderful to hear that God's word is active like a two-edged sword, doing exactly what it's called to do. And that's what we do. We preach the word of God in season and out of season. You know who I'm thinking of today? I'm thinking of my friends outside the abortion mill. It's so cold and so windy and so snowy. So we ask you, Lord, to hold them in the palm of your hands and let their work in faith bring forth life. Life, Lord, for the babies and life for the women. Let them be people that witness with love, with hope, and with joy that their children can be saved. Amen. You see, the Word of God is like the two-edged sword, and it has many meanings. Like, I look at the 40th chapter of Isaiah. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord." Who is Isaiah talking to? Israel. But also to you today. Be comforted, because you are loved by Jesus Christ. You are loved by the Lord who gave his life for you. You are loved with an everlasting love. It tells us in Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and you are mine." So be comforted today. Be comforted that you belong to Jesus, and that he has plans for your life, and that he has a destiny for you. Oh, yes. Don't die without completing your destiny. Somebody spoke to me the other day, and they meant really well. They said, "If you never preach again, Father Tom, you've done enough." And when I came home, I said, "No, Lord. No, Lord. No. I want to do more. I want to be able to proclaim the Word of God, not only to people in Boston, but throughout the world on the Internet and wherever you call me to do it. And you've got to give me the health so that I can do it, because I can't do it without your health. I cannot do it without your health. You've got to give me that health that the only way I can do it is that you give me your health. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord." He's talking to Israel about what? "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her that her evil has come to an end." What does that mean to the people who heard it? Remember Jeremiah said as a result of their sin, they were going to be going to Babylon for 70 years? Do you remember that? So now God is calling them out of Babylon, that the evil has come to an end. Your iniquity is forgiven. You have received from the hand of the Lord double for all your sins. The voice of one crying in the desert, in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness the paths of God." What does that mean to the people who are hearing it? That in the wilderness, there's going to be a road that will lead back to the temple. Now, we also know that's about Jesus. It's about John the Baptist crying in the desert. And what does he cry? "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness the paths of our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough ways made a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." Oh, yes, that glory that shines on the face of Jesus, that glory that God gave to the church through the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Spirit, that glory that no one can give that glory but God. That's God's gift to the believer, that glory. The word in Hebrew is kabod, Yahweh, the glory of God. And it's a heaviness, not a heaviness of depression, but a heaviness of the presence of God. I have seen people that could not get off the rug because the Lord's glory was on them. And you can just look into their faces and see that God was doing a mighty work in them and for them. I tell people, they get on the ground and they fall over. I say, stay there until God does what he needs to do. Don't get up. Don't get up until God is finished with you. It's like an operating table. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh together shall see that the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Oh, that's in Jesus. All flesh has seen that God promised to send the Messiah, born of the house of David, born in a stable, born so that he would die and give us second birth. Oh, yes, second birth is so important. We cannot go to heaven without second birth. We believe it happens at baptism, but we also believe that we have to make baptism our life, giving our life to Jesus, allowing him to be our Savior, allowing him to be our Lord. Oh, yes, I'm talking about conversion, you see, how we need to be converted, not only once, but over and over and over again, over and over and over again. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh together shall see that the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Oh, yes, he spoke his word into existence, you know, from all eternity. The Father spoke his word into existence. We call him the Son. He is the Son of God. And Jesus speaks the word of creation. Yes, God's word is Jesus, and he is the eternal word of the Father. He not only came in history, but he has been with the Father from all eternity as the Word of God, as the Son of God, and he became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The voice of one crying said, "What shall I cry?" And the Lord says, "All flesh is grass, and the glory thereof as the flower of the field." Well, you have to know what that means, because all flesh is grass, and the glory thereof as the flower of the field. You see that the flowers come up in the morning with the dew, but in Israel, when it's a hot, hot day, those flowers fade. Oh, yes, those flowers fade. All flesh is grass. What does that mean? That everything is passing. That's why the only one that is forever is the Son of the Eternal Father. His name is Jesus, and he is forever. All flesh is grass, and the glory thereof. I remember many years ago on July 4th, I drove to Cohasset, and they were fishing out a young man who had drowned. He had been deep sea diving, and he had drowned, and the only thing I could think of is all flesh is grass and the glory thereof. Oh, God, that's why we wanted to choose Jesus today. We want to give our life to Jesus today. We want to be comforted today. We want God to know that we love him today. We don't want to follow our own way. We want to follow his way. I did it Yahweh, you know? Not I did it my way. That's what they're singing in hell. I did it my way in four-part harmony. I don't want to do it my way, because my way is nothing. My way leads to a dead-end street. But you know what? Even when we're on a dead-end street, God can give us the grace to turn around and make a U-turn. Maybe you're on a dead-end street today. Maybe you're stuck today. I'm telling you, the Lord is able to take that dead-end street, and you can have a U-turn and head toward Jesus, head toward the cross, head toward the resurrection. Oh, yes, give your life to Jesus today. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. The grass withers and the flower fades because the Spirit of the Lord has blown upon it. Indeed, the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Last night I was asking God for a word for myself. And I believe this word is for you. It's from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, God's word from Psalm 19. And the word of God says, "May the Lord hear you in the day of tribulation." Are you going through tribulation? "May the Lord hear you in the day of tribulation. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you." Yes, you. "May he send you help from the sanctuary and defend you out of Zion. May the Lord be mindful of all your sacrifices, and may my whole burnt offering be made fat. May the Lord give you according to your own heart," yes, give you the heart's desire, "and confirm all your counsels. We will rejoice in your salvation, Lord, and in the name of our God, we shall be exalted. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions." Yes. "Now have I known that the Lord has saved his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, the salvation of his right hand in power. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses," yeah, "some trust in their money, some trust in their titles, but we call upon the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God." What's his name? His name is Jesus. And who does he lead us to? He leads us to the Father. "They are bound and have fallen, but we are risen and are set upright. O Lord, save the King and hear us in the day that we call upon thee." Oh, yes, Lord. Hear us. May the Lord hear you in the day of tribulation. Are you going through tribulation today? The Lord hears you when you cry out to him. May his name be praised forever and protect you. May he defend you from heaven. May he be mindful of all your sacrifices, and may the whole burnt offerings be made fat. May he give you according to your own heart. May the Lord give you your heart's desire. Oh, yes. You know, you don't even know your heart's desire. Just pray for your heart's desire. I know that the Lord wants to give us a heart's desire. That's how I entered the seminary. I said, "Lord, I want my heart's desire, and I don't want anything else but what you have put in my heart." You see, God has placed something in your heart, and we want to fulfill what God has done, what God has placed. We want to fulfill it, whatever it may be. We want to fulfill it. Why? Because that's what's going to make us happy. That's what's going to give us joy, to do the Lord's will. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Yes, the word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." The word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Hallelujah. The word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said, "I am the door to the sheep." The word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The word of the Lord endures forever. I just got something from Louisiana from Ryan, and he writes this: "Preach it, Father. We are listening to you. We are listening to you." That's from Louisiana. He's listening on the computer. "Go to a high mountain, you that bring good tidings to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength, you that bring glad tidings to Jerusalem. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with strength, hallelujah, and his arm shall rule, hallelujah. Behold, his reward is with him, and the work is before him. Isn't that something, that this God has power? I'm going to read that again. Behold, the Lord God shall come with strength, and his arm shall rule. Sounds like Superman. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Listen to the next line, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. You know, that strong arm is the arm of the shepherd that holds you on his neck. He shall gather together the lambs with his arms, and he shall take them up in his bosom, and he himself shall carry them that are with young. Oh, yes. Today, do you need the Lord to carry you? Well, you know, he will carry you. He will carry you. Got another message from California. You have a lot more to do for his church. God bless you, because those of us who know you are being spiritually fed by the preaching of the gospel. And then she says, from California, keep warm. Well, it's not very warm today in Boston, but you know what? The word of the Lord endures forever. And the power of God is shepherd power. He comes like a shepherd to feed his flock. He comes to find the one lamb that has gone astray. Have you gone astray? Well, the shepherd is there to pick you up and to start all over again. Have you been looking at the internet and you know you shouldn't be? Oh, you've got to get on your knees every day and say, Lord, don't even let it be a temptation. You see, God loves you. Jesus gave his life for you. Oh, yes, behold, the Lord shall come with strength. What kind of strength? Shepherd strength. Shepherd strength, and take you in his arms and carry you to his bosom. He himself shall carry you that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has weighed the heavens with his palm? Who has poised with the fingers of the bulk of the earth and weighed the mountains and scaled and the hills in the balance? Who has forwarded the Spirit of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has taught the Spirit of the Lord? With whom hath he consulted, and with whom he has instructed him, and taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, to God, the Gentiles are as a drop in the bucket. That's it, a drop in the bucket, and are counted as the smallest grain in a balance. Behold, the islands are just like dust to the Lord, because God is so great and God is so big. All nations are before the Lord as if they had no being at all, and are counted to him as nothing and vanity. You know, let me just tell you this. Don't seek after things. We live in a world of the kingdom of thingdom. Don't seek after things. Seek the face of the Lord. Seek God in all of his holiness. Seek God that he give you the fulfillment of your heart. Seek God that you would be able to live for him. Again, I want to lift up the people that are in front of Planned Parenthood today, cold and miserable, but yet they are there faithfully offering hope, help, and love. Oh, yes, no hollering. There is no hollering. They are there offering hope, help, and love. Maybe you want to join them someday as a sign of your love for the infant Jesus as you come to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue in Brighton. You see, my friends, it's the time to save children. And no one is screaming. No one is hollering. People are praying. People are singing, people are helping, and offering hope, help, and mercy. I tell you, this is real. This is real. Then we go on. To whom have you likened God? Or what image will you make for him? Has the workman that cast the graven statue? Or has the goldsmith who formed it with gold? Or the silversmith with plates of silver? He hath chosen strong wood that will not rot. Oh, the skillful workman seeks how he may set up the idol that may not be moved. Do you not know? Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Have you not been told, you from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth? It is the Lord who sits upon the globe of the earth and the inhabitants thereof. The inhabitants are like grasshoppers, locusts. He that stretches out the heavens as nothing and spreads them out as a tent, so we would dwell in them. You see, God spoke his word into existence. And not only did he speak his word into existence, everything that he has made is good. He's made you, and he's made you to be good. But first you have to have your sins forgiven. First you have to go to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins. Get the confession. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was speaking to someone yesterday, and, you know, they spoke to me and said, you know, I have no sins. Well, you know what? I don't think I'm the only one that has sins. My sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I don't understand when people say, I have no sins. I think they'd rather say, I don't know my sins. And I ask the Holy Spirit to convict me of my sins, not condemn me, because there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That the Holy Spirit would convict me of sin, and that I would find peace through the blood of the cross. As I've told you so many times before, St. Catherine of Siena, look her up in Google. She said, whenever I go to confession, I go under the blood. Under the blood, that's what happens in the sacrament of confession, in the sacrament of penance. We go under the blood. Well, Lord, I thank you for being here for us. I pray that you would comfort your people. I pray that you would comfort them as a shepherd comforts his flock, that you would take the one that's gone astray and put that one on your shoulders. I pray, God, that you would just give peace to your people, that, Lord, in this day that they would seek your face, that the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus, that they would seek your face and you would comfort them and tell them, I have forgiven you. My blood has fallen, and it is your forgiveness. I have forgiven you, and your blood, my blood has fallen, and it is your forgiveness. Well, today I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. This Sunday, the 15th of December, we're having the live nativity at Holy Rosary. Pray that the weather is good and not too cold. And we're going to have live animals, but more than that, we'll have the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We'll have the shepherds, and we'll have the wise men. This Sunday at 3:30 we begin. Please come. Please come and celebrate with us the Nativity of Jesus. We're a little early, but you know what? We said, let's not do it on the 22nd because people will be crazy shopping. So on the 15th, this Sunday, we will be having a live nativity, and we do it every year. We've done it for the last 17 years. This year we'll make 18 years that we've done it. And, you know, I remember a miracle that happened 2 years ago. Because of that live nativity, something happened that touched a woman and her son, and now it's just so much more, their mother and son again. Isn't that wonderful that because of the live nativity, something happened? Not only did people praise God, but God was working in the crowds. We don't have big crowds at Holy Rosary, but we have people who want to worship God. We have people who want to praise God. So you come. You come Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. Come and with your voices as we sing the Christmas praises of our Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And again, I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. The mailing address is easy. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And if you would like to make a gift on PayPal, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. And I'm so grateful for the people who listen to me on computer in Louisiana, in California, Eva, Mary, that they listen on the computer. It's so wonderful. And what about Pat, who listens in one of the state of the Bible Belt? Can't even think of it at this point. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.